Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Tonight we're in Proverbs chapter 31, the last chapter. It's been a fun study. We do have one more message after this by way of review. We're going to bundle it all together. But tonight, lessons from the mule, the virtuous woman. The Proverbs conclude with this message concerning the virtuous woman. Those of you who have been with this study know that chapters 1 through 9 had an overwhelming theme. Avoid sexual sin, get wisdom. Avoid sexual sin, get wisdom. And then it became identified, avoid the evil woman. Get wisdom. Avoid the evil woman. And then it said, wisdom, she. We have now the contrast of this evil woman with Lady Wisdom. Back and forth through the first 9 chapters, and it all culminates with this incredible presentation of wisdom in chapter 31. Son, are you listening? Get the virtuous woman. Pursue spirituality and watch how God will bless. Lady Wisdom, in this presentation in the Proverbs, comes together in a literal virtuous woman. Son, you'll be blessed in your marriage. And it's interesting to think about this. The father is talking to his son to live with virtue, with spirituality, seeking God. God blesses, you're going to get a wife, and guess what, son? With that wife, you're going to have children, and then you teach your son and pass it on from generation to generation. Spirituality doesn't just happen. We have here a very graphic presentation of a father teaching his son, and now these last 2 chapters, if I can give the expression, we have guest speakers, Agur and Lemuel. And they're all supporting the same thing, get wisdom. Proverbs chapter 31, 1, the words of King Lemuel. Now think about that. King Solomon is speaking. I don't know which one of his children he's addressing, although we see him addressing a singular son, and then we have him addressing others also, children at large. Could he be speaking to Rehoboam, the next king? And Rehoboam is getting this, and now the Proverbs include, and I wonder, did Lemuel present this to the son? Was it written for the son to read? I don't know. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him, passing it from generation to generation. We have seen throughout the Proverbs the father, Solomon, teaching the son, and here now we have got the incredible wisdom of a mother to her son, and he passes it on. Hence the responsibility for training in spirituality rests upon both parents. Heavy emphasis on the father, but surely the mother. The prophecy that his mother taught him. Prophecy does not always mean foretelling the future. It can mean simply speaking forth the word of God. His mother boldly warns him of sinful companions, strong drink, and disobedience to the word of God. Does that not sound like the major themes of Solomon? Blessed is that person who had a God-fearing mother who warned about sin, and happier is the person who heeded her warnings. The old line, I wish I would have listened to my mother when I was young. Why? What did she say? I don't know. I never listened. Not supposed to be that way. In verses 1 through 9, we see that spirituality is the most important thing of life. In 10 through 31, find a virtuous woman, son. Her characteristics are, in 10 through 12, her loyalty. In 13 to 22, her work ethic. In 23 to 27, her humility. And in 28 through 31, her rewards. The importance now of a godly wife, because the husband and wife are going to be such a team. Oh, that young people would listen when you are picking a spouse. Think. Think. If you're supposed to find a virtuous, godly, spiritual spouse, where do you think the best fishing is? Right? Church. Fish in church. And really, you know what? Don't worry about it. Let it in the hand of God. You stay busy about the things of God. Let Him take care of your spouse. This is an admonition, especially to young ladies, to be a virtuous woman, as well as men, to look for a virtuous woman. And by the way, ladies, look for a man that's looking for a virtuous woman. Now, I think it's important also to point out, not everybody's going to get married. Does that mean that something's wrong? No, it means that that's how God planned it. Not everyone is going to marry. I've included on your verse sheet there, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, the words of Paul. If you read that in context, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it is talking very, very intimately about the husband and wife relationship. But it's interesting that Paul said these words, "For I, Paul, would that all men were even as I, single," in the context. "But every man has his proper gift of God. After this manner, or after that, some of you are going to be married and some aren't. In each case, it is a gift of God. It's not a mistake. Accept it and live it, because that's the plan of God." Now, obviously, I'm addressing spiritual people seeking His face. The unsaved are out there without the understanding, the knowledge to find the will of God. But you commit yourself to God, and if God brings a spouse, praise the Lord, and if God doesn't bring a spouse, praise the Lord too. Let's take a look in verses 1 to 9. Spirituality is the most important thing in life. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him, "What, my son? And what, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women." We're getting back to avoid the evil woman. "Nor thy ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto them that are ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of poor and needy." So here it is, the training from the parent to the child, even to the king. He needs trained. The mother starts out, "What, my son?" I believe here we're seeing her acknowledgement of the parent-child relationship. "You are my child." "What, my son?" She then says, "What, the son of my womb?" She actually now identifies the biological link. "You are the fruit of her body. I carried you for 9 months. You're very precious to me, your family. And what, the son of my vows, the commitment that I have to you as son, as biological family. And I have this incredible responsibility to train." Parents, you have an incredible responsibility to train. Academics, spirituality, common sense, physical development, work ethics, personal hygiene, virtue and character. All the responsibilities of the parents. Of course, spirituality being the most important thing. Be physically pure, be sober. As king, care for those that cannot speak for themselves. And as king, be sure to apply yourself to the poor and needy. She is preparing him for a good wife. And this is going to be his crowning glory for his application to wisdom. And that he will rule well. His family will be blessed. We see the incredible admonition Son, wine and strong drink is not for a king. We saw earlier in the Proverbs chapter 23, Solomon said, son, don't even look at the wine when it moves itself right. In the Bible, in King James, the word wine can refer to either grape juice or fermented wine. So hence he says, it's okay to look at the wine before it ferments, but don't look at the wine after it ferments. Don't look at the wine once it's moved. Don't even look at it. Give strong drink to him that's ready to perish. I perceive what that saying is, like we would use painkillers. If somebody is really out of it, do we not give people in mercy something to relieve the pain at the end? I think that's what that's talking about. There's been some subject on what does it mean? Let him drink and forget his poverty. Remember his misery no more. Can she be, and this is what I tend to think it means, does God really want us as born-again people dwelling on misery and poverty? Does that sound like a child of God? No. I think what she's saying, you know what? The drunks and the bums out there, they're the ones that use it. Just let it out there for them. If that's how they're going to live their life, that's not for kings. That's for the people out there that don't know the Lord, that don't know any better. Son, let that to them, that they remember their misery no more. That's not Christian. That's not God's people. We don't remember our misery. We take our trials and tribulations to the Lord, and He blesses and sees us through them. Not with alcohol. That's not for you, son. He is getting ready for a wife. Here he is on the threshold, King Lemuel, and he's passing these words on. It's interesting. Verses 10 through 31 are what are called an acrostic poem. If we were to go back in the original Hebrew language, it would make a lot more sense. These 22 verses in the Hebrew begin with a consecutive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. This is rather poetic. We can't really appreciate that in English. But I think it's interesting, we saw Agur in the last chapter using this four-part illustration six times. An interesting method of speaking. God moved him to use that to make his points. God is moving Lemuel to use this acrostic. God moves different people different ways. God does like variety. Who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She starts out, who can find a virtuous woman? He's looking. Who can find a virtuous woman? She is beyond pearls. As we saw, Lady Wisdom is more precious than any kind of wealth you could have on this earth. This now is she's in the flesh, if you will, helping him to be the spiritual man that he needs to be and ought to be. She's trustworthy. The husband is going to have peace because he knows as he goes about his day, she goes about her day, they're dedicated to each other. Son, don't worry about it. Her goals are your goals. You're a team. You're pulling together. She truly is a helpmeet fit for you. It says she's going to do him good all her days. She is willing to forego personal interests for the greater cause of the couple and the family. And spirituality is at the center of the family. They're both seeking God's will. Son, if you both seek wisdom, this is going to be the bond that holds and builds the family. Your entire life will be joyful because you found a virtuous woman. She's going to do good, not evil, all her days. Surely this is a priceless treasure based on spirituality. It says you will have no need of spoil. When a soldier would go out to battle and they would conquer an enemy or a city, they would take things. Son, your wife is going to be so good to you, you want to get back home. You don't want to rush into that conquered city and find out what you can get. You have enough in your wife. There's no need for you to take spoil. This is the incredible blessing of a virtuous woman. She is willing to just see to it that you are taken care of. It's interesting that as you consider this passage, she's not providing him with literal things per se, but rather the necessities of life, food, clothing, trust, and a good relationship. Are we not back to what we've seen several times in Solomon's words to his son? Be content. He's content with the simple things, with the daily provisions in his life, and she is tending to these for him. And they're happy as a couple. This is what the Christian marriage should be based upon spirituality. Who can find this virtuous woman? A spiritual man can find that virtuous woman. Because she's going to have the wisdom to marry a spiritual man, and you're going to have the discernment, son, to look in the right places, to dedicate yourself, to be about the work that God wants you to do, and you will find the woman that God has for you. And so it is, she gives him those warnings in verses 3 through 9 for spirituality, and you will find that virtuous woman, son. Consider then, starting at verse 13, her work ethics. And her ethics and charity, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships, she bringeth forth food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Then in the afternoon, this lady's busy. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hand to the spindle, and her hands doth hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She has the family dressed, and she's well dressed. A quote here, contrary to critics, who claim that the Bible has a demeaning view of women, this description is highly exalting as it views women performing many economic roles in the family. She's buying and selling property. She's dealing with merchants. God is not against women working. Certainly we can see in Scripture the woman has a different role than the husband, but my goodness, is she industrious and trustworthy to function and make decisions. Here she is seeking wool. She's working. She's talking to merchants. She rises while it's yet night and giveth meat to her household, a portion to her maids, not just the family. She's actually tending if there's maidens, any type of servants or guest in the house. Her responsibilities is shopping wisely for sewing supplies for her work. She seeks good deals for food and price and quality. She's not lazy. She feeds her family and helpers. She researches, negotiates, and buys land. She gardens. She applies herself physically. She has confidence in her purchases. She's vigilant. She applies herself to work. This lady is motivated. And take a look at the end of verse 13. She works willingly with her hands. She gets up willingly. Nobody has to prod her along. This priceless woman is a worker, whether it be sewing or cooking, taking care of the children, or assisting her husband in family business. She is faithfully doing her share. Note that she works willingly. She is unselfish in charity, verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. There's some debate on that, but the one thing we do agree on is their clothing is quality. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. So here's this woman not only tending to her family, but to the poor and the needy. Reaching out, seeing others to share, to help, and to give as God has provided for her, and she provides for herself. She certainly puts other people first, but it does say she maketh for herself. She makes sure she looks nice. This is an important part of a virtuous woman. So it is, she has incredible responsibilities throughout the day, and she applies herself to them. And in the midst of all this responsibility, incredible accomplishment, people would look at her and say, "What are you, the Energizer Bunny?" She just is going and going and going, and yet she's humble. Let us consider her humility in verses 23 to 27. Her husband is known in the gates. Son, are you listening? Now this came to Lemuel, who's the king. To be in the gates means that was the place of leadership and authority in the scriptures, the Old Testament. It would talk about you sit in the gate. You're one of the community leaders. Son, are you listening? Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it. She's not ashamed to him. What an embarrassment my wife is. No, that's not the case. My wife is something that I am very, very pleased with, and she actually supports me, and people respect me because of her industry and her support for me. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Solomon referenced to women that were quite otherwise. The obnoxious, the loud woman. 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. This lady is applying herself and is a blessing to many. Consider who she blesses. In verse 12, she blesses her husband. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. In verse 15, she provides and blesses for the household and maids. She rises while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to the maidens. In verse 20, she takes care of the poor and the needy. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. In verse 21, she cares for her family. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. And what does she provide? She provides peace of mind and satisfaction. Verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She provides food. In verse 15, she rises while it's yet night and giveth meat to the household and a portion to the maidens. She provides clothing. She's not afraid of the snow. Her household is clothed. And they have comfort. She provides comfort by planning. Look at the end of verse 18. Her candle goeth not out by night because she made provision. This lady is one awesome woman. And you know, you read this and you say, can I honestly ever live up to that? You know, that's where God comes in. And God can take and multiply fish and loaves. God can multiply the fruit of your hands. And it's just, how in the world did that all get done today? Because when you seek the face of God, He multiplies what you put your hand to. Don't ever forget that. It wasn't just that He could only multiply fish and loaves. He can multiply everything. And He can multiply the fruit of your labor. Well, as we consider this incredibly industrious woman, I'm reminded of the old expression, behind every successful man is a good wife and a surprised mother-in-law. Let me quote, a noble woman enhances her husband's standing among those who transact legal and judicial affairs at the gate among the elders. Though she is obviously aggressive and competent, she functions in a way that honors her husband's leadership rather than denigrates it. She respects him and builds him up. She is a total asset to her husband. Son, are you listening? Remember, the whole context of Proverbs is, son, you're ready to go out and start yourself into society. Are you listening? You're going to have these fools entice you to do wrong. You're going to have men and women, each alike, are going to entice you down a way of folly. Son, listen. And when you apply yourself to spirituality, this is what the rewards are, this virtuous woman. It's interesting, too, why is her husband and the family so blessed? Because she puts their needs over her needs, yet she tends to herself. 24, she maketh fine linen and sells it and delivers girdles unto the merchant. She is out making money for the family. She applies herself to her responsibilities, verse 25, strength and honor. are her clothing. This lady has great endurance. She has great wisdom and looks out for the well-being of others. She openeth her mouth in verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She diligently applies herself. And in verses 28 through 31, what's she get out of this? Because this passage obviously is addressing the son to look for finding this virtuous woman, but it's teaching young ladies to be the virtuous woman that a man of quality would want to marry. What are her rewards for this incredible diligence in all aspects of her married life? Her children, in verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Think now. What did we just see in chapter 30 under Agur when he said there's a generation that curses father and mother? In the very next chapter, he says, if you have a virtuous woman, she will have worked with you to train those children up in the way of the Lord, and they will recognize mom's hard work. Let's read it. Her children arise up and call her blessed. In contrast to a generation that we saw in chapter 30 that cursed father and mother. They call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Husbands, do you say nice things to your wife, or did you say I do at the altar and that's it? He praises her. Husbands, find things and praise your wife. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Oh, this is the woman you want, Lemuel, and all other young men. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates. Her work speaks for itself. You look at her work and you see there's somebody behind this that's industrious of quality and virtue that made this happen. And the children and the father see it and they recognize you are worthy of kind words and praise and thanksgiving. They actually apply themselves. Husbands, kids, apply yourselves to say nice things to your mom. This woman has true beauty. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Ladies, don't you be deceived by the beauty or supposed beauty of this world. True beauty is that inner woman. Any of you in this room that have children know, in the middle of the night, sometimes you got to tend to kids and isn't real pleasant. And when you work together as a team, and you go through the hardships of life and the trials and tribulations, the real beauty is the woman that stands by your side, the husband that leads in righteousness and stands by the wife's side and says nice things and both sacrifice for each other. That's beauty. That beauty only gets deeper if you only let it and live it. This woman truly fears the Lord and has true beauty. We see this in 1 Peter 3:3 through 5. Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning, the plaiting of the hair, the wearing of the gold, or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is a great price. For after this manner in the time of the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. True beauty is when a woman fears the Lord. She does her husband good. She provides for her family and others. She's a diligent worker. She's not lazy. And she does it all willingly. She enjoys the fruit of her hands. Proverbs 31, this is the reward. Give her the fruit of her hands. Now remember, Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes too. Let's take a look at what was written by this man, Ecclesiastes, who had a major part in the book of the Proverbs. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. It's right that we would enjoy the fruit of our labor. Don't I get anything out of this? Absolutely. You do get to enjoy what you're doing and take some of the rewards thereof. Don't deny that of your wife. Her work is such quality it brings her praise. Her food is good, her clothing is good, her appearance is dignified and honorable, her business dealings are professional, ethical, and wise, her testimony and teachings are good, therefore her family's virtues praise her. Her true beauty is within. Though the years may change her body, her beauty in the Lord only grows greater. Her praise comes from God. I do always those things that please Him. How does God praise this woman? By blessing her labors and her life. The fruit of her life will praise her. She will certainly reap life everlasting because she has sown to the Spirit and not to the flesh. Oh, Lemuel is sharing words his mother passed on to him. And we read these today. Isn't it amazing that these things have not changed in thousands of years? In those days, they didn't have iPads. But that would not have made them happy then. It is the inner beauty of that woman in spirituality is truly where joy and happiness and fulfillment is found. Parents, stand back and look at the great big picture of Proverbs. The father has diligently applied himself to sit down with his son, look him in the face and say, "Now listen." Fathers, apply yourself to a one-on-one with your child, and more than once would be in order. And talk to your kids about wisdom. We can learn here at the end of this chapter that Lemuel had much to say because of his mother. Ladies, you also apply yourself to sit down and talk to your kids. And children, listen.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.